The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 2nd of September, 2024. It's the first day of school for the year, the new school year. And guess what? It's a Leah Enias, actress, comedian, artisan, cast member of the award-winning hit show Gombe Kids. She plays the character Mama D-Lo. And I want to say happy birthday to cousin Leah. Good morning, and good morning to everybody who's celebrating a birthday today, everybody who has celebrated a birthday over the weekend and the last week. Happy, happy birthday, everyone. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and we're going to do open line this morning. Of course, I have topics lined up, but I'd also like to hear what you want to talk about this morning. The numbers to call, 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. That's 325-4316. 325-4259. 325-4259. And 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720, toll-free for Family Island residents. Joining me in studio this morning is Mr. C.A. Nuri. Morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning this morning on this dry Monday. It's a good day to be dry, eh?
Yeah. We've had a lot of... If ever you could push the mics away from the thing. It sounds breezy in here, eh? But it's not just dry, it's also very still. No, don't move that. Move the dad. Anyway, you think I'd like to suffer? That's okay. Good morning. You may hear a strong breeze blowing in the background. Have no fear. The rough weather has passed for the moment. Ms. Nuri, there's lots to talk about this morning. September 1st, yesterday, marked the 5th anniversary of the landfall of Hurricane Dorian in Abaco. The residents in Abaco held their annual memorial at the Dorian Memorial Garden Sunday afternoon, late afternoon. And they are holding the torch. In today's papers, both Guardian and Tribune, there's stories about Abaco, but I haven't seen yet a story about a formal state service or participation in the annual memorial service in Abaco.
Erin, I'm kind of uneasy to be having a conversation about Dorian because, you know, I tend to be critical. mm-hmm. right? I critique everything, I do an interrogation of everything. Once upon a time, it was declared that it was over 100 deaths, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or people missing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if we have declared who all has transitioned from this tragic event. To say their names out loud, to have a ceremony for them, right? To recognize that they have gone and left us. I'm not sure if that has happened.
So are you saying, does the service, whether held by the residents, right, the community service, or any state activity reflect the true nature of the event? Is anyone at each event, like you say, documenting and calling out loud, remembering the names of all that have passed? What we do know is that the official death count is 70.
Mm.
We disregard that. When I say we, I mean me primarily, because it's only I could say that for myself. And I think other right-thinking people and people who were on the ground during the storm and people who were on the ground immediately after the storm all denounce that number, 70, officially dead. Now, there are processes that have to be followed, right?
Like, let us have an update on that we, in our memory, in our celebration, our recognizing of what's happening, the tragic event, we give tribute to those who has transitioned. I'm not sure if that is happening.
Absolutely. The official count is 70. The former Minister of Health, Dr. Duane Sands, refuted that number. He said that the number was much larger, but he referenced, I think, a number around 250 plus. According to eyewitness testimony that I received, people that I talked to who were on the ground in Abaco during the storm and immediately after the storm, that number is outrageously low, right? And how will we, particularly in a space that has a strong migrant community, and we know that many of those migrants could have been undocumented migrants, right? How do we properly remember the dead, the lives lost during Dorian? I don't think, like you said, I don't think that there's even been a discussion, right, on how the lives of the unknown.
And should our agencies assist those migrant population to say, well, since it's not a formal recognition on our government's behalf, we will assist you in recognizing the names that you say has transitioned.
And then given the nature of migration in the Bahamas, through the region, and in Abaco, is it unfair to say, well, the migrants have to do that for themselves? We understand that people travel here undocumented. We understand that people travel here and change their names. They use different IDs. We understand that people are brought here. People are trafficked here, right? And are forced to assume other names. We know that because of migrant culture, people hesitate sharing the names of people. But something I think is far more concerning, and I haven't heard anyone mention it, not at the state level, not at the community level, not at the advocacy level. If people are intentionally not declaring their loved ones missing or dead because they have facilitated someone else assuming that identity to enter the country and work. And have we taken that into account at all? Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, what's up?
Everything is good. How are you?
Listen, I can speak from experience as a survivor of Hurricane Dorian and in East Lanama.
Yes, sir.
And what concerns me is not memorializing the victims or the survivors or the people who went missing and all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't really care to see a monumental or to see our names or see people's names on the statues or on the papers or nothing like that. That's not really, like I said, I can speak from experience. That's not really my concern.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is, what have we learned from Dorian? What measures have we put in, place to prevent not a hurricane, to protect the people from a hurricane,
mm-hmm.
to evacuate the people, to rescue people, to alert people? What have we learned? What are we doing for the next hurricane instead of just talking? Let's do a party and let's have a concert. Let's bring BB1 and Nano, CC1 and all. Let's put a statue up.
But let me engage you, caller. And since you've experienced that, you live it in reality, right? What are you unsatisfied with? I mean, I'll make it personal now. So you give your testimony and give your plea now to the government, right? What are you currently unsatisfied with in terms of our response, the government's response, in terms of hurricane preparedness, in terms of a monster hurricane visiting the Bahamas again, in terms of the response to say, these are the actions that we will enact when such a monster comes to the Bahamas again?
Well, not just a monster, any hurricane. You know, how have you prepared the people in these low mines and these low-lying settlements?
Mm-hmm.
How have you prepared those people? Have there been any conversations with the people? Hey, if a hurricane comes, this is what we need to do. This is what you need to do. This is what we're going to do to evacuate you. This is where we're going to put you. This is how we're going to protect your property while you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Have we had any of those conversations?
Not that I'm aware of.
No, and like I said, what are we doing to protect our people in case a hurricane comes?
Absolutely. I thought one of the first things we would have seen on the ground was a shift in the migration policies in terms of internal migration, where we were at least using Abaco maybe as a pilot to document the movement of people into island for various purposes, for immigration purposes, for police purposes, for statistical purposes, for healthcare purposes. You need to know how many people are generally on this island at this time to ensure that the clinic has what it needs in case of emergency.
And that's another thing. And like I say, in terms of preparation, are there any backup communication? Are there any backup medical supplies? Are there any backup food supplies? Can we prepare for another hurricane?
And what if?
And let me just remind you.
Yes,
I know
sir.
You keep saying Abaco, but please don't neglect East Grand Bahama, because we were just equally as devastated as Abaco.
Absolutely. So you're telling me when you left Abaco, you went to East Grand Bahama, lived between the two?
I'm in East Grand Bahama.
Okay.
I was in my ceiling for 2 days. I had 7 days for the water in my house.
That's another thing. Have we seen changes to the building codes, right, that would reflect an acknowledgement of sea level rise regularly, like in places like Pinewood, where we know it's going to flood, potential for flooding in new construction zones, the impact of new construction on existing and surrounding areas? And have we considered that we need a building code that now says that you have to have a minimum of 4 feet off the ground if you're going to build?
Well, even if we enforce the building codes, even if we revise the building codes, do we have the manpower to enforce it?
Yeah.
Let's take consideration the shanty towns.
Yeah, we have the manpower. The question is, do we have the trained and organized labor to enforce the policies?
And also, too, one of the things the government should look into is somehow find a way to put some kind of universal health insurance. Whether the government subsidize people insurance, the government pay some and the people pay, and the homeowner pay the rest, somehow find a way to subsidize home insurance to take the burden off the government. Because if the government's spending $100, $200 million to renovate people's homes or to help people, if you subsidize people's home insurance, it'll be way cheaper to subsidize home insurance than to shell out that kind of money to repair people's homes.
Absolutely.
I mean, just food for thought.
No, absolutely. Now, listen, before I transition on the line, were you on the ground in Abaco this weekend or are you in East Grand Bahama?
No, I'm an East Grand Bahama.
Okay. Thank you very much, hey. The next thing I put on the table is, where are the discussions about flood insurance? Like, are we going to start talking about it? Because it have to be included as a basic.
And that's why I said the government needs to somehow find a way to subsidize homeowners insurance, whether the government pay a portion, or maybe the government give people a loan to pay the insurance and they pay the government back. Somehow find a way.
We put a tax
on... We can find money for everything.
We need
somehow
to put a tax on something. a tax on something to pay towards the subsidy for home insurance.
Let's take the money from the traveling budget.
There you go. I like it.
I'll hang up and continue to listen.
Thank you. I was going to say on high-end cars, but you kind of encapsulate all the high-end travel that we have been observing over the last decade plus. So let's transition to the next story. We're going to start at the Nassau Guardian, of course, because we're on Guardian Talk Radio, your place, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Portion of Abaco shelter roof collapses. A portion of the roof of the hurricane shelter on Abaco that is under construction collapsed over the weekend, the Disaster Risk Management Authority confirmed yesterday. Between the night of August 31st and the early morning of September 1st, 2024, approximately 50% of the middle bay of the structure collapsed, the DRM said. Let me repeat that. Approximately 50% of the trusses in the middle bay of the structure collapsed. The roof collapsed. You tell the insurer 50% of the trusses in the middle bay of the structure collapsed. The roof collapsed mid-construction. We're going to get to that in a moment. I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, how you doing, Aaron? And I think Nuri is there with you.
He is.
Yes. Just to make a point, you know, most of the things that you spoke of concerning, say, for instance, where individuals are in the country as well as the movement of the country, is just basically a simple process of digitization, digitalization, datafication, and the digital transformation of the economy. We as a country should know where we know the number of people in the country. We should also know their status. We can, by virtue of digitization, verify in real time individuals, even authorization to work at any and all businesses. The problem is that we've had leadership that is cemented in the past and denies of the future, leadership that understands that we are 24 years into the 21st century, and the 19th century concept and the 20th century mindset no longer serves the economic picture of the Bahamas. Let's use an example. Do you know, you and Nui know the total amount of visitors to the state of Florida tourism market?
State of Florida?
Yes, 140 million. Save you the time. Do you know the total global tourism, cruise industry is 31 million? And the fact that these are self-contained ships. So when I say what we need is to rethink everything we do is doing the economy, if our primary customers is that the cruise ship industry contributes $300 million a year and they provide 80% of our tourists, but we get $2.2 billion a year from the 20% of the air-based tourists, we get seven times the income from 20% than we get from the 80%. The reason I'm saying is that these things that we have has to be rethink. We need a total revamping of our economy. So we need leadership that understands that we must measure where we are and where we want to go so that we could plot a path on how to get there. We keep getting gaslighted on everything we do. You see, we're talking about, hurricane shelter and your Providence is a unique case, but let's look at the fact that if you talk about the building code, if homes are built to code, they are hurricane shelters. So why you want to say we're going to continue building homes that doesn't meet code or homes that can't be brought up to code, that we'd have to ask people to abandon them except in flood areas? And so it's like we have to rethink what we've been doing because we can't keep doing the same thing over and over again expecting different results. We spend billions of dollars on education. We are in an era of information. But the comprehension of information is knowledge. We just need to have individuals that understand how to use information to the point of comprehension so we can make wise decisions. And
thank you.
The best way to do that is to register to vote so in the next election you can choose leadership that understands these things and test them on it, not just on, you know, it sounds good like saying, we do this, whatever, let's test them to make sure that they or their team at least understand the hows of what they say they will do.
Absolutely. Much, see, Alan. As you go, I got another caller right behind you. You're saying that we make like 7 times more money from the 20% of tourists that come through via air versus the 80% that come through via cruise. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Grant. Good morning, Mary.
Morning. How you do?
Oh, wonderful. I enjoy U.S. holiday. Lawn football and tennis.
That's something. It's good time. Good time.
I was celebrating their Labor Day yesterday.
Okay.
That's the U.S.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. But you know, on listening to the good gentleman before CA was talking, it prompted me to say, because some of the things he said make sense. No, Aaron Gray, we need a 10 or 20 year plan for hurricanes and disaster. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you why I said 10 or 20 year. We should have at least a hurricane shelter on every island of the major islands of the
Pumpkin Eater, I can take it one step further. I can take it one step. Be leading the world in hurricane research and sustainable development. We should be leading the world, not just this region or this hemisphere. We should be leading the world, right, on hurricane and storm research, technology, and product development.
And a high-tech meteorology system, that's office system.
Absolutely.
That's different from office.
Yes, sir.
And you mentioned a data plant. Now, the missing folks in Abaco, right?
Mm-hmm.
We should have a plan to register every single person living undocumented or documented in this country.
Including
right
tourists.
Through a digitized system.
Oh, yeah.
When you come in, you stub your name and your birth certificate and your whatever, still need to be registered. So in the matter of Arkansas, that would happen much. No one knows who was living in the mud of Abaco. And not besides the Indians, of course, undocumented. And most of them are children who was born in the mud but never had citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to take a serious look, Aaron Green. What we learn from this?
Yep, absolutely.
We ain't learn nothing.
It doesn't appear so, Pumpkin Eater. It does not appear so. However, what we are finding is that the residents of Abaco are saying, in fact, I'm going to read just briefly. I want to thank you very much, Pumpkin Eater.
Right.
Before I go to the next caller, today's Guardian Top of the Fold, a story of resilience, progress, challenges 5 years after Dorian. A central Abaco official estimated that 75% of the homes were destroyed or damaged by Dorian have been rebuilt or repaired, while the Abaco Chamber of Commerce said about 65%, you've got to go into page A9. Coming to you right now, caller, many missing and dead. 5 years after Hurricane Dorian pummeled Abaco, leaving many missing and dead, buildings destroyed and thousands homeless, many Abaconians are proud of how far the community has come in such a short time, but challenges remain. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, how are you?
Rachel Willenon. Good morning, Mr. Neri Poppy. How you all doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Thank God for life, as usual. You know, it's sad what happened to the people over there in Abaco, and that could have happened to any one of us on any one of these islands.
Like Ragged Island, it's happened like Long Island. We could go on, yeah.
Yeah, and I hope, I know it's a say experience is the best teacher, and I hope we learn something from this and, you know, could do more to have a better plan because the experience of what the people went through and the stories and mark this day.
Yeah.
You know, you say it's an open line, so let me quickly say this because I might get a chance to say it.
Absolutely.
I say before Donald Trump to get shot, I had a strong feeling like how serious the people in the United States are. I was listening to the media and the cable news and stuff, was talking and stuff. It's like they have a lot to lose if Donald Trump become the next president of the United States. And I was saying, it sounds like they going as far as that someone should eliminate him. Then I start thinking about for the old man, Mr. Biden, people saying he ain't doing good as a Democrat, and he can cause them lose. I say, at what cost? And, you know, how do people thinking? But, you know, I say, let me say this. You see, just so, and I could be wrong, but time will tell, Ms. Green. Mm-hmm. Today is the 2nd of September 2024. When the first lady run for president for the Democrats in the United States to be president, Ms. Hillary Clinton, you know, the polls were saying the same thing they're saying now. And when it was over, we realized, and they realized, that the polls is wrong. I have a strong feeling the polls wrong again. I don't know if it's because it's a lady for the Democrat, and they try to be a little softer to, I don't know, BS the American people or what, but I believe it's a strong feeling. I have a strong feeling that the polls could be wrong, but time will tell. How you feel about it? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
This is one to watch as well. You know, I think it would be foolish for the left, the Democrats, to think that everybody thinks the way that they do. Even that all Democrats think alike. Democrats are motivated by the same things, the same issues, and that the culture within the Democratic Party and its supporters have shifted at the same pace that the culture in leadership has. But for me, I think what's been most interesting and disappointing at the same time about this upcoming race is how quickly U.S. political debate has devolved to what we are finding in the Bahamas now, which is election talk is devoid of policy discussion, interrogation, right? It's devoid of receiving critique and engagement from your fan base. It's become the same thing here. You know, vote for our party because you got to keep the other party, the devil out, right? And that's the most important thing. Don't worry about policy right now. What's most important is that we hold vision. And that's been terribly disappointing looking up to the north, understanding the way that the dominant culture will impact us. Absolutely. Let's go to the phone line, and then we're going to continue reading from the story portion of Abaco Shelter Roof Collapses. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Man, everything blessed. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron, what are these jokey contractors here, man? Who's putting up these trucks, man? That's the same contractor who put up the trucks by Aaron Bailey.
I haven't read that deeply into the story, but I cannot imagine that that contractor, whose contract had to be reduced to writing and who was probably self-insured, would be given a contract of this size and nature.
Hey, they really lucky these trusts don't fall on none of these wakers' heads. Or the last time, the minister and all of them, they lucky, you know. They looking at a lawsuit, you know. Everyone knows you're putting on them trusts, and if you ain't putting on the plywood right away, that's how you brace it. You got to brace it properly. I only know a little 5% for construction, and I know that. Who are these jokey contractors here, these government, I'm giving these contracts to, man?
I don't know anything about construction, and I'm asking why the hurricane shelter in Dorian, Abaco, have a wooden roof. Why are we not building a concrete hurricane shelter? Why are we not building something more sturdy than a wooden roof? Where they going to go? What was the... Okay, here's... Let me... Because I really don't know anything about construction. What was the roof on the Abaco complex that all the people had to run to after all the shelters failed in Abaco? What style roof did that have? Why y'all not letting the people who build the Abaco complex build the hurricane shelter?
Yeah, because that'll look good. That only looks with one or two shingle, or that might have the metal roof. I think that might have metal roof, yeah. But, but if they don't stop dealing with these jokey contractors, someone could get killed, you know. These fly-by-night bush contractors, if they don't stop dealing with these, they could kill somebody. Hi there, Inman.
Thank you. I think the entire system needs reinforcement, pun intended, right? It's not just the contractors. It's the inspectors that come in. Why aren't inspectors on the job, right, for hurricane shelters? Why don't we legislate, put in right, inspectors must be on the job when hurricane shelters or buildings that will be designated as hurricane shelters are being constructed. We're going to go through the text line. Erin, I'm sure there is sea level rise, but I don't think that's what's causing the flooding. When people build their foundation for their homes 2 to 3 feet below sea level, what do you expect to happen? These people need to hold these contractors and inspectors accountable and stop joking. Prosecute. I remember reading an editorial by Pat Ramming, architect, highlighting that maybe we, the general public, are not aware or we've forgotten, but every single, the vast majority of construction projects require an environmental impact assessment before they could be approved. And I am still stunned. I'm still stunned that it's obvious. We are not demanding, requiring, asking for environmental impact assessments when new homes are being built, when new shopping plazas, strip malls are being built. Another text. Morning, this country is a dolly house. I knew we would never find out how many lives were lost today. Dear texter, I regret to inform you that the government has already told us they closed the file on that. We don't have to accept that. And we should not accept that. Because we all know more than 70 people died in Dorian. And that all of that is 2024 and we don't have any systems in place to do what we know ought to be done when we know it ought to be done is astounding. Another text, morning, I think that they were wrong to muzzle news, media opinions, etc. of the Republicans instead of just addressing whatever misinformation was distributed. When that happens, it lends an air of conspiracy and martyrdom, which now increases Trump's allure. Well, I don't think all media houses are muzzling Republican opinions. The question is, are you receiving through your service providers a true reflection of the spectrum of political opinions and broadcasts available in the United States of America? Another text, Aaron, the contractor who built that stood Dorian was an F&M contractor. Most roof trusses are built with wood. It's the skill and precision. But Hurricane Dorian was, I mean, we just acknowledge that it was a Hurricane 5, and some people argue that it went beyond a Hurricane 5 to a Hurricane 6, right? So, what does that mean? That mean, Mr. Newry, they have an old term old people used to use for things ain't things. Things have to change. Look like we have to do something different. Like unprecedented circumstances require unprecedented thinking. I don't know. I'm just saying maybe we should consider something else. The Abaco shelter collapsed. I got another text. It's talking about flood insurance. They say, can you get any insurance in Abaco at this moment? That frightened me when I heard that. What do you mean, can you get any insurance in Abaco at the moment? Are communities demanding the government reapproach insurance policies in the country, making flood insurance cars?
And let me interject here. Usually, insurance is tailored. It's not something that you just get. You ask for a particular package for whom flood insurance is not necessarily a part of a home insurance.
Okay, so watch this. I hear, that's the point I'm making. Why isn't flood insurance a part of home insurance in low-lying, small island developing states?
You ask for that and say, can I have flood insurance a part of my insurance package?
No, it should be a part of the basic policy coverage available.
And they have it available to make it part of your
basic. They don't have it. If it were a part of the basic, it wouldn't be optional.
It's
like cable. ZNS, it come standard.
It's like car insurance. Now they have third party. As you know, most cars are now third party. It seems on this road. But it's third party fire and theft. And then third party where you get your car. If it gets damaged, you get reciprocated benefit from it. This insurance does not cover fire nor theft.
That's the point I'm making. Like flood. Let's put fire and theft on the side.
Yeah.
Flood and theft. Why aren't these a part of the most basic auto coverage available? See, if I have to choose it, it's optional.
Yeah.
It's not a part of the basic. And these things should be basic.
Covered fire. That's it. First fire. Your house, you could not even if you get a flooded or you get a tornado, it just covers fire.
Not even
It doesn't cover tornado. It covers fire. And if you want to add to it, you can add to it to say flood and tornado. Just add to
it. I want to take a moment to remember Corinne Mitchell, who wouldn't let me off the side porch in her attempt to lead me to Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know where the rest of y'all was walking, but what you said just now makes no sense to me, Mr. Newry, in a modern Christian nation. Anyway, when we get back from the break, there's more to talk about. Three traffic fatalities over the weekend. We're going to talk about Pinewood again. They got a specific question I want to ask. Trash at Orange Hill Beach. And who's selling high school students edibles? What's your breakfast? Anyway, you're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, Sino.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 8477 from the Family Islands. It's time for Guardian Radio and AML's second annual back-to-school snackathon. We are accepting donations at the register of Solomon's Fresh Market and Cost-Rite locations in both Nassau and Freeport. And with your donation, you can make a difference to a family and a child going back to school with the gift of snacks. No amount is too small, and if you are a My Solomon Smart Rewards member, consider donating your points. So let's come together and make this school year unforgettable. Donate today and help us make a difference in the lives of children across the Bahamas. Promotion ends September 5th, 2024.
Your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
When you jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is... For the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the HitSpot and listen to
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm going to hit the text line and then we're going to transition. Text says, And inspectors only come on government construction projects until after the fact. I had hell getting home repairs done after the fact, and at one point I found newspaper stuffed in my outside walls during a plumbing repair. And yes, you're right, we don't have access to both sides unless we dig on the internet. Thank you, Texter. Another text just came in. Good morning. When the government hires qualified contractors instead of qualified, issues will stop. Thank you, Texter. It's like the government refuses to acknowledge its obligation to protect citizens, residents, and people in the country, whether documented or undocumented, from unscrupulous and illegal practices, nefarious business practices. There's an obligation there somewhere. Maybe it's where the Oban file is. Here's an important story to touch on. Fernando, we're still looking for Devin Isaacs. Police are still searching for 17-year-old Devin Isaacs, who was reported missing in May, Commissioner of Police Clayton Fernandez said. The commissioner said there's been no new information in Isaacs's whereabouts for some time. Quote, we continue to probe that matter, he said on Friday. Quote, that investigation is still very much alive, and we appeal to members of the public for any additional information. It's like he just vanished. Quote, there's no information coming in. Police say Isaacs was last seen by his mother on the night of May 15th at his family's home on Carmichael Road. He was spotted on CCTV outside the apartment complex his family lives in, where he was speaking with a man in a vehicle. Fernandez said police are still communicating with Isaacs's family members with the hope that new information will surface. As he reflected on instances of children who run away from home, as was the case with 10-year-old Kayvon Bellany, who was reported missing last month before returning safely, Fernanda urged parents to, quote, pay attention, close quotes, to their children. Quote, you know something, you know, sometimes you will see flyers saying a runaway, like the little boy the other day who left home and he just went down the street, close quotes, he said. Quote, you know, we encourage family members and parents to pay attention to your kids, man. If there is some signal you will see in your child, if something is going wrong, quote, pay attention to your kids to ensure that they are safe, close quotes. Mr. Newry, just very quickly, I'm hoping that there's a lack of words in this article because those words are attached to an ongoing, active undercover investigation trying to find this minor child. He is 17. He has not reached 18 years old yet. And while he can engage in, he can freely give consent to heterosexual encounters, he cannot give consent to homosexual sexual encounters. I don't like that the bulk of the article is focusing on parents paying attention to their children. Have we focused on that potentially this is a sex trafficking case? Has this young man been, is he being held hostage and being forced to engage in sex work against his will? Even if at some point he did consent to participating, what if he changed his mind and he no longer wants to be there or engaged in that activity? What if he's been trafficked outside of the country? What if he's a victim of organ harvesting? What if he has been killed? Is not enough attention being paid to a missing minor child? You have no idea why he's missing or not returning home. I think it's reckless to assume he just don't want to be in his house. He just don't want to rule. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, blessing, sir. Listen to me. This 17-year-old, what is he now considered
He's a minor.
Adult? He's still a minor at 17?
Yes, because he's not 18 yet.
Okay, but at 17, they can give consent.
For heterosexual intercourse, not homosexual intercourse.
You know, let's just hope positive. Let's think positive about it. So at 17, he is no longer has to go to school if he don't want to go no more.
Absolutely, but he still cannot leave his home without his parents' consent. So it's a tricky space to be in.
That's what it is. At 17, you're a minor, or you said he's still a minor.
Right. In the eyes of the law, you're still a minor. You can't vote. You can't just pick up and leave your parents' house, even though you could leave school, and even though you could engage in heterosexual
full-time employment. They say they saw this gentleman on a video.
Mm-hmm.
Was he in the same clothes that he was in when he ran away?
I don't think they indicated that in the article, but not sure.
Somebody has to be taking care of this young man.
Mm-hmm. And there's offenses on the book for that.
Be charged with if you know what? Remind me. You're going to remind me about this. I'm saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Then that young man reached 18. He just had celebrated a 17th birthday. So that means in another 10 months or so, he'll be 18.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to shoot right up on it. Nobody can do nothing there. Somebody can take care of him for another 10 months, 11 months, until he reaches 18. And then he just shoot up and nobody can say nothing to him. So then what happens to all of that resource that the government was spending looking for him? Who pays that back?
Whoever kidnapped him. Whoever kidnapped him.
Was he kidnapped?
I get options. That's A. Or whoever has...
Keeping him.
Right. Knowing that he is underage, the police are looking for him, right? Several different things. Knowing he's outside of his parents' home without their consent, A. B, know that the police are looking for him. C, know that he is a minor under the law.
Ms. Green, I'm going to go on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know this is not really a talk show, but I'm going to go on this. You honestly don't believe his parents know where he's at?
It doesn't seem so.
They don't know where he's at?
It doesn't seem
I mean, think about
if
it.
I had
if
a
they
17, 16-year-old son, 17-year-old son, and he in Nassau. Mm-hmm. Nassau even 21 by 40 is gated community. Nassau is small in that.
I agree with you, personally,
not the police, me.
Yeah.
I would have had Nassau day greater. I would have found him. Because on CCTV, the CCTVs are numbered for certain areas.
Right.
Number one, you know what area you're in, so you don't lock in that area.
So, I mean, I'm running out of time, but think about it. If the parents know where he is and they're telling the police where they think he is, why...
The police are not going there.
Yeah. Thank you very much, eh?
God bless.
Absolutely. Another text. If he, quote, shoots up, quote, at 18, a crime was still committed. Absolutely, right? We have to determine what's the statute of limitations, if there is on these crimes, but... A crime was committed. The fact that he is now of age doesn't mean that the crime wasn't committed in the first place. We are just about out of time. Mr. Newry, there were a number of things I wanted to talk about again. 3 traffic fatalities over the weekend. This is tragic. This is maddening. But I wonder if this is sufficient to encourage people to put their cell phones down because it's against the law. Or stop turning right on red because it's against the law. Or stop running through red lights because you think nobody coming. So what? Because it's against the law. And you also risk killing yourself and other people. There are reports of heaps of trash piling up behind the western side of the beach. Perhaps those people responsible for beaches and parks don't see it because they don't get out their car when they're doing their mobile patrol. It's the police who do mobile patrol with their windows up. It's back to school time. Here are some headlines. Parents invited to join police in crackdown on sales of edible drugs to students. Another headline, police know school stabbings last academic year. Another headline, police reveal several parents have been charged for assaulting faculty and students. As to whoever is selling high school students edibles, that's not the problem. The problem is why are high school students accessing them? And if these students are accessing the cannabis, making the edibles, figuring out how to get them to school and sell them to their classmates, these kids are bored and they need to be in advanced classes, among other things. Mr. Newry, headlines I didn't get to. BCPOU holds protest at ZNS, criticizes general manager Clint Watson. And not out of whack, fired gaming board staff win $1.9 million in damages. We'll get to them maybe later in the week. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with St.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.